The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Big Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, with Lamb Lion Ministry. And it's great to have you joining us for today's program. We have a great program prepared to you today that we have titled Life in the Millennium. So stay tuned. And those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. We also want to invite you to get your Bibles ready and a pen and a piece of paper to jot down notes as we continue in our program. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all those who are tuned in to The Truth Will Set You Free. Lord, we don't take that name for granted. Your truth does set us free from the wages of sin, which is death. And Lord, we just pray for everybody tuned in that they will know you as Savior, and they'll rejoice in you as we study your word and enter a new topic, the millennial kingdom. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Big Batista, Nathan Jones. Again, the title for our message is Life in the Millennium. If you ever thought about what that will be like, stay tuned to today's program as we share some amazing details regarding our program. But before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nathan, it's great to be back on.
Hey, brother. Good to be on. Yeah. Although this flu season, it seems to be hitting everybody here at Lamb and Lion Ministries. I apologize if I sound a little hoarse, but I'm getting over a cold, and half the staff has been in and out from some kind of flu or sickness, and I hear your wife, poor wife, went through it too. So you got to tell me the secret of your health, Vic.
Oh, well, Nathan, actually, I don't have a secret. It's the Lord.
I don't know. I think you drink from the fountain of youth, frankly.
Thank you, Nathan. Actually, no, I do have my share. As a matter of fact, I did have a cold too a few weeks back. It's just something that's going around, and some people struggle with allergies, Nathan, pollen and all that in the air, you know?
I'll say. We have weird weather here in Texas. Either it's 90 degrees or 40 degrees the next day, never in between.
Right. Oh, that's the thing. Now we are thankful that we're seeing things warm up a little bit, and hopefully we're going to have longer days, right, Nathan? Which do you prefer, Nathan? Do you like the longer days or the shorter days? Some people actually like the shorter days.
You know, it was weird. When I was in Alaska, I spent 3 months there back in 93 as a camp counselor, and I never saw it get night. I go to bed, you know, 10, 9, and there'd be a late dusk, and then the sun would be back up at 3 or so, and I'd be back up in the, you know, wake up at 6. And I spent the entire summer without ever seeing the night. Matter of fact, on the longest day of the year, which was at June 21st, 22nd, I watched along the horizon as the sun hit the horizon and went back up, and that was so cool. I thought, man, I could live like this, because one of the aspects of the millennial kingdom is the light, the glory of the Lord. Now, it's not the eternal Jerusalem where God's light shines through it and you'll have eternal light, but I think that's preparing us for the fact that someday that we won't have night. So to answer your question, I would probably say I prefer the longer days. How about you?
Nathan, I am just like you, and I am so excited that you share that, because really we have a glimpse of the millennium there, or how things are going to be like. So now you're going to be pushing people to move to Alaska, aren't you, Nathan?
I'd go back in a heartbeat, but I didn't experience the winter. I remember asking some of the kids at the camp, I'm like, how do you stand the winters? And they're like, well, you got the aurora borealis and the stars, and the kids didn't have to go to school when it was dark, so they're going a few hours a day. And I guess if that's what you're used to, that's you're used to. But I know in the eternal state in heaven with the New Jerusalem and God's light irradiates through it, that the sun and the moon will be the lesser lights in the sky. We're going to have to get used to it being daylight all day and night.
Yes, Nathan, and that is the beauty of what awaits believers in the future. And these are tips and details, Nathan, that a lot of people are really not familiar with what life is going to be like, especially in the millennium and, of course, in the new heaven and the new earth. But these are very important things so people to know so that they can understand what is ahead of us, what is for ahead for our future. But Nate, also, let's say someone is new to our program and they don't really know much about the ministry or the how to get a hold of us or the content that we are talking about. How will they be able to get a hold of that?
Well, Lamb and Lion Ministries is a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. We're very passionate about his soon return. We see the signs that the Bible told us would happen that would indicate his soon return are happening in our day and age. And so we know that his return is soon. So we're calling people to repentance, to holy living and evangelism, and to have that hope that this terrible world is going to end soon and Christ will install his kingdom on this earth. So if folks want to know more about that, they go to our website at christandprophecy.org. They can download the Lamb Lion app, or they go to our Christ and Prophecy YouTube channel, and there we have a wealth of information to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Nate, for sharing that. And yeah, we just want to share that with you, especially if you're new to our programs, grab hold of these resources so you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. Nathan, speaking of growing in our relationship with the Lord, you and I spent quite a bit of time making our way through the book of Ezekiel. And in our last episode, we concluded and we closed the book of Ezekiel with some amazing discussions regarding the millennial temple. Nate, in case someone was not part of that, maybe they're joining this session for the first time about life in the millennium, might you be able to give them a glimpse of what that was like when we closed the book speaking about the millennial temple?
Well, a lot of people go to Revelation 20 and they're like, okay, well, that's the only passage about the millennial kingdom. But, you know, Vic and I will tell you, there is a tremendous amount of passages about the kingdom of Christ on this earth. And so we went to Ezekiel, and once you get to chapters 40 through 48, that's nine chapters, go into great detail about how Jesus will, when he returns at the second coming and defeats the Antichrist and false prophet and Satan, and he cleanses the world and he installs his kingdom, he will build his temple in Jerusalem. And the Jerusalem will be much larger than it is today, and the temple will be 40 miles square. That still blows my mind. And Jesus will rule the earth. Those Jews saved during the tribulation will go into this kingdom as a priestly people, and those Gentiles who were saved during the tribulation will go out and form the nations, and we who have been raptured and died and gone up to heaven again in our resurrected bodies, we will serve the Lord and we will rule and reign where he assigns us, and so it'll be a wondrous, glorious time, and that's a time that's coming up, but my wife likes to call it the forgotten kingdom. Because most Christians don't realize is that Jesus Christ will come and he will return to this world. Matter of fact, he's promised it. He says, Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, 12, and 20, the Lord says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So not once, not twice, but three times in the very last chapter of the Bible, Jesus promised that he will return, and when he returns, he will institute his kingdom on this earth, and that's a promise that we can bank on.
Nathan, I love that. Again, for those of you that just tuned in, you're tuned in to our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Big Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is life in the millennium. And Nathan, I love that, the forgotten kingdom, because even believers, Nathan, I speak to so many Christians, and so many of them really have no idea about the millennium. What awaits them? Some of them simply think, well, I'm going to die and I'm just going to go to heaven and I'm going to be floating around in clouds. But that's not how this. There's so much more. There's more details to other aspects of the eternal life. And the millennium is one of those exciting ones because, Nathan, of course, as you just mentioned to us, first it starts with salvation, with us coming to Christ. He gives us eternal life as we put our trust in him. Then you mentioned, Nathan, according to the calendar, that there's this event called the rapture of the church, where millions of Christians are going to be caught up and taken to heaven alive. Then we believe the succession continues. There's going to be this tribulation period, a period for 7 years. And then, as we mentioned in our previous programs, at the end of the tribulation, the Lord is going to start setting up his kingdom, that millennium kingdom. And then, of course, there's a 1,000-year period where we, the church, we're going to participate. We're going to be part of that. And this is the area, Nathan, that I think many Christians are not aware of.
I'm so glad you brought up the timeline, because it can be confusing, especially for people who interpret the Bible through a spiritual lens and not through a literal interpretation. They assume that the church age that we're living in now is the kingdom, that Jesus Christ rules and reigns the earth through the church. And in part, you could say that. Matter of fact, I love Cotton Mather. He was a Puritan pastor, and he tried to explain the kingdom of Christ. He says it's the threefold kingdom of Christ, yet a fourth to come. And so he said there was four aspects of the kingdom of Christ. There's the spiritual kingdom, wherein his word and grace rule over the consciences of men. And that's true. There is a spiritual kingdom that the Lord is ruler over. He also said there was a providential kingdom, whereas he governs all the affairs and motions of the world. Well, God is sovereign. Yeah, we admit that God is over the universe. So yes, there's a sovereign aspect of that kingdom. But he also said, part three, there's a ecclesiastical kingdom, wherein he appoints and prospers the ordinances of a church state. And that's the age we're in now, where Jesus rules and reigns through a spiritual kingdom of his believers, all Christians who are on this earth, but not yet the whole world. And this is where Cotton Mather pointed out the fourth aspect of the kingdom of Christ, the Davidic kingdom, which belongs unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And that part where Jesus has promised to rule and reign on the seat of David in Jerusalem, to rule the entire earth, not just the spiritual part of the earth through Christians, hasn't happened yet. And that's what most of what we read in the book of Revelation, and of course, as you said in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48 and all, that hasn't been instituted yet. So the kingdom of Christ is not yet complete.
Excellent, Nathan. And you know, you made a very good point. I remember early on, before I even knew the Lord, before I even was a Christian, all I knew about what I thought was the millennium was what I saw in a Watchtower magazine given out by the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I mean, I remember these magazines were everywhere, and they paint this picture of paradise, and that's all I thought that heaven was like, the millennium. But even with their with their pagan, if you will, propaganda, there's a lot of people that's what seems that's a picture. That's the only picture they know about what the millennium or what paradise is supposed to be like. But there's so much more than that in scripture, right, Nathan, that people need to pay close attention, because that is going to be our future.
It is. It is. And there's so many promises given to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to rule and reign. You could look at the Davidic covenant all the way in 2 Samuel 7, where the Lord says, I will set up your seed, your descendant, in other words, after you, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, singular, forever. So Nathan spoke to David. So I think any guy who's a prophet and also named Nathan is a smart guy to listen to. Because he's saying that, hey, this promise to King David is he will have a descendant who will rule on his throne, David's throne, not just the throne in heaven, but the throne on earth. And that kingdom will last forever. And so that's a little confusing aspect, because you and I are saying millennial kingdom. And you go to Revelation chapter 20, and six times it states that this kingdom of Christ on this earth will last 1,000 years. But 1,000 years is just the first phase of this Davidic promise that it's a forever kingdom. It's the foreshadowing of the eternal state where then the kingdom of Christ will find its completion.
Oh, that is fantastic. And Nathan, also, some people are not familiar actually even with the term millennium. Where do we get that? Is that in the Bible? And well, of course, you and I know that it's recorded for us, especially in the book of Revelation, where it speaks how we're going to rule and reign with Christ. And in Revelation chapter 20, beginning on verse 4, it says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So Nathan, we get this 1,000 years from the word of God.
Absolutely. You've got it. You nailed it. You know, we got six times here. And people say, well, you know, where else does it say 1,000 years? I'm like, why do you need to go anywhere else? It says it not just once, but six times. And that's where we get the term millennium, which is a Latin word where milli, which means thousand, in annum, which is years, millennium, so 1,000 years. And that's where you get those who spiritualize the interpretation of the Bible. They're amillennials, because a means no 1,000 years. And that's why they have the church pretty much as the kingdom. But again, Cotton Mather, I think, really nailed it there with the third aspect. Yeah, there is an ecclesiastical, through the church, aspect of the kingdom, but the Davidic kingdom part hasn't happened yet. That's what the 1,000 years will begin.
Absolutely. That is fantastic. And we can't wait for that. And we believe, Nathan, that that's going to be very near in the future, because we see the rapture at the door. And then everything else is going to move forward very quickly. So, folks, you can find yourselves in the millennium in a very short period of time. And Nathan, that just blows my mind how sometimes people don't consider how quickly this can happen.
Yeah, because in the timeline you provided, we're waiting for the next prophetic event, which is the rapture of the church. So the Lord will come back and not land on the earth, but go as far as the clouds and call all those who are saved, the church, we call it, up to him, and will be in heaven for a time. There might be a gap, but there might be a little bit of time before then this tribulation time period, which Daniel 9 tells us is 7 years, and God will judge the earth. And at the very end, the last day of those 7 years, Jesus will come back, defeat the evil powers of this world, and set up his kingdom. So if the rapture was to happen, say, today, which, bring it on, there might be a little bit of time, and then the 7 years, it could be well within, say, 10 years that the kingdom of Christ will be on this planet. I mean, that's just mind-boggling when you think about it.
Nathan, and that is the exciting thing, and why we're taking some time to talk about the millennium, because this is something that people need to recognize. It's very real, it's very possible, and we can literally find ourselves there in the near future. So we want you to pay close attention to what life will be like in the time of the millennium. Now, some people think, Nathan, that there's not much details in the Bible about the millennium or what's going to happen there or what life will be like. But I think that if we dig in and we look closer at Scripture, the Bible gives us quite a number of glimpses into what this is going to be like. One passage, Nathan, that I love is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses through 17. And I just love this passage because it speaks about this event, but it gives us some really amazing details. Nate, will you be able to go there with me and open us up in Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 20, just in case someone doesn't have a Bible? And I'll read 21 through 25.
All right. So you want me to read 17 through 20?
Yes, please.
For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed.
Oh, and verse 21 says, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. Verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before you call, I will answer, and while you are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Nathan, what an amazing passage.
There's a lot that we can milk from this passage. So again, Revelation 20 isn't the only passage when it comes to understanding the millennial kingdom. This is what life will be like in the millennial kingdom. Wow, Vic, where to start? Huh? There's a lot to talk about here.
Well, you know, Nathan, I like you said, I think we should milk it a little bit. We don't need to rush, right?
We have plenty of time.
Right. But I mean, just opening up in verses 17 and 18, for behold, I create New heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Now, we know there are those aspects of the recreation of the earth, if you will, for the millennium. Then Peter speaks about that there will be a dissolving of the earth. But here, verse 17, it starts to speak about that new creation. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. In other words, the earth is going to be completely changed so that we will be able to live in it for 1,000 years. We will be in our glorified bodies, but people will be born in natural bodies in the time of the millennium.
Right. Well, we got to remember there's a period before the millennial kingdom and the church age, between the church age and the millennial kingdom, and that's the tribulation. So God is going to release 21 judgments upon the world that are so devastating that he says that if the tribulation lasted one day more, everybody on the planet would be dead. And we're talking about world wars, famines, pestilence. We're talking about what appears in the sixth seal judgment to be a nuclear war. We're talking about demons released from the pits to murder a quarter to a third of the people on the planet. We're talking about giant things like meteors and comets hitting the earth, the waters being poisoned, both fresh and salt, the land burning, the sun scorching, the particulates in the atmosphere causing darkness. I mean, by the end of the seven-year tribulation, the way we look at a map now, the earth won't look the same anymore. It's going to be so devastated. And so when Jesus returns, you know, he's not going to set up a kingdom on the wasteland like a Mad Max movie. He's going to rebuild it. Now, a lot of people will point to Isaiah 65 and say that first verse there is actually pointing to what Jesus will do after the millennial kingdom when the new heavens and the new earth begin. And that can be applied to that, too. But when you read the length of lives and stuff like that, well, that's still a mortal description. And that's what the people who survived the tribulation say. They're still in their mortal bodies. So it has to be the rest of the passage about the millennial kingdom. But what we got here is that Jesus doesn't rule over a wasteland. He rebuilds the planet, revigorates it, refreshes it to make it livable again. And who knows how long it takes him to do that. We know from Daniel there is a 75-day interlude between his return and the official start date of the kingdom. I mean, if the Lord can build all that we know in 6 days, I think he can rebuild a planet pretty fast.
Absolutely.
I don't want to come back to a poison wasteland. You know?
No, or live like in Mad Max.
Right. So the topology now. I mean, for instance, I don't want to get ahead about, but anyway, the earth as we know it won't look the same. The landscape won't look the same. The mountains will have been leveled from giant earthquakes. Islands will be moved. And so we can't think of the millennial kingdom as our current earth. It's got to be that the Lord rejuvenates it. And that's where we get here in this verse in Isaiah 65, starting in verse 17, is he has to recreate the earth or the earth wouldn't be livable for his kingdom.
I love that. And Nathan, you made a very good point. And that goes with verse 20, because we see that this ties in well with the millennium, because we know that in the time of the millennium, people are going to be born in their natural bodies, but life expectancy is going to be extended. And verse 20 says, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Speaking of a 100-year-old person as a child.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Well, you got to think, too, about what life was like before the flood. I mean, people lived hundreds of years. Methuselah, almost 1,000 years old. And some say scientifically it's because the firmament in the sky, the waters in the sky, blocked a lot of the radiation. Because that's why we age. You know, we're constantly bombarded by radioactive waves from outer space. They're blowing microscopic holes through our bodies. Our bodies heal. But at a certain age, you can't keep up with it, and it causes wrinkles and aging and all that. But whatever how the Lord fixes the earth, that protective dome is back over the earth, bouncing off the radiation, and the people have long lives again. So we also get to Isaiah 33:24. It says, the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell will be forgiven their iniquity. And Isaiah 35:5-6, Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. So a lot of the ailments that we have, these short lives, you know, 70, maybe 80 years if we're lucky, will be prolonged. And sicknesses, as we know it, the Lord's not going to rule over a kingdom filled with sickness. Thank goodness, I'm trying to get rid of this cold. he wants a healthy planet. So you know, I have a special needs son, and he doesn't speak. And I'm longing for the day when the tongue of the dumb will sing, as it says. We won't have to worry about infirmities. It's the millennial kingdom is the Lord lifting the curse mostly off the planet. It's still there in part because people will die, as we just read. But it's going to be a preview of what the eternal state will be like, almost perfection, and long lives will begin. Now, we need to make a point, Vic, that the long lives are for those who survived the tribulation, and then the Lord holds what's called the sheep goat judgment in Matthew 25. Those who've taken the mark of the beast and rejected Jesus, they're sent to Hades, or also called torments or Sheol, where they wait judgment at the end of after the millennial kingdom. But those who've accepted him live on, and they have children, and they repopulate the earth, and the earth population might have like 20 billion people by the end of the millennial kingdom. They're the ones who age and have children. We, in our glorified bodies, the Lord says, you know, we don't marry. We're like the angels, so we don't have children, but we're eternal. We're not going to then, you know, die. We're going to have these eternal bodies. So there's two totally different groups of humanity on the earth during that time.
And Nathan, that's a very good reminder and a great point. I believe one little glimpse of that life was when Jesus died and he resurrected. He lived amongst us with his glorified body. He was able to eat. He was able to commune with the disciples, yet they were in their natural bodies. And that little glimpse there also is what the Bible records for us. But we're going to be in that state for 1,000 years where people will be in their natural bodies, but we will be in our glorified bodies, but we will still be able to commune with them, eat with them, hang out with them, and have fellowship with them. So, Nathan, there's going to be this beautiful relationship taking place in the millennium.
Yeah, and the earth could support a population of, say, 20 billion or so, because the Lord's also, when he rejuvenates the earth, he's going to make it bountiful again. We could read in Amos 9, 13 through 14, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seeds. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow of it." Zechariah 8:12, and again in Isaiah 4:2, all prophesy that the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing. In other words, there will be such an abundance of food that no one will go hungry. There won't be any poverty anymore. There's going to be bounty, unimaginable bounty. And on top of it, the animals won't be killing each other or us anymore. We'll be at peace with the animal kingdom.
Excellent point. And Nathan, and definitely we'll be touching that on the next segments, because not only we're going to talk about life in the millennium, but also society in the millennium, and also the peace in the millennium. So for those of you that are part of our program, we thank you for being part of this program. This is only the beginning of some amazing things that you're going to learn, what's going to be happening in the millennium. And Nathan and I here, we just basically touched on the subject looking at Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20, but there is so much more to come. The exciting thing is that this is a promise for believers, those that have trusted God, people of faith that have put their trust in the Lord and have decided to follow him. And if you find yourself in the opposite camp where you have not made a decision for Christ, we're going to give an opportunity right now for you to be part of this family so that you can rejoice and be part of what we're talking about here is going to happen, I believe, very, very soon in the near future. So Nathan, maybe there's someone out there who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, but we've sort of like talked about this so important topic and they're interested in it. Maybe they might want to start their relationship right now. How might you be able to share them with them how they can start their relationship?
Well, Jesus says that only citizens of this kingdom can live in this kingdom. So unless you're a citizen of the kingdom, this isn't your future. Your future dwells with Jesus Christ by being what he calls an overcomer, overcoming this world in Revelation 2 and 3. And how does one overcome the world? By putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you want to be a citizen of this kingdom, then it's time to repent, turn to Jesus Christ, believe in him as the Son of God, and accept him as your Savior. Pray from your heart. Lord Jesus, I've been a sinner. I've rebelled against you. Please forgive me. I love you and I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus promises that you will now become a citizen of his kingdom.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Nathan, for sharing that wonderful invitation. Simple but yet important invitation. And maybe you received Christ right where you are. You made a decision to follow him. Nathan and I would love to hear from you. We'd love to get emails. We'd love to get phone calls. Feel free to write Nate an email at webminister@lamblion.com. Feel free to call us or text us at 305-992-9537. We would love to rejoice with you, send you a Bible and a Bible study guide so that you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. And we want to say welcome to the family of God. So, Nathan, it's amazing when people turn to the Lord and they're going to be added to that family. And that's why we do these programs every week. Right, Nate?
Amen, brother. I'm so excited about this topic. It's one of my favorites.
Awesome. And of course, life in the millennium starts with our relationship with Jesus. It starts now and into the future. And of course, we ran out of time for this segment of the program, but understand this for sure, that we will have some other programs prepared for you that you don't want to miss. So make sure that you join us. So Vic Batista, Nathan Jones say goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Ha llegado, ha llegado.